I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Once again, Jim Taylor joins me. The legendary sports writer is out with a new book. He co-wrote Bob Leonarduzzi, a Canadian soccer story with, you guessed it, Bob Leonarduzzi. We get a great view on soccer, Canadian soccer, Mr. Leonarduzzi's career on and off the field, and stories of the many colorful characters encountered along the way. Bob Leonarduzzi was a successful soccer player, winning a North American Soccer League championship with the Whitecaps. He coached the Vancouver 86ers and is now president of the Vancouver Whitecaps FC, the 17th club in Major League Soccer. Jim Taylor was around for a lot of those days. Leonarduzzi was 19 when they met. He covered him, wrote about his exploits in his noted columns and papers here and across the country. We'll get Jim to tell us about this book, which is from Harbor Publishing, and why we should read it, and what it was like looking back with Leonarduzzi. Jim Taylor has written thousands of columns. He's done three times as many radio broadcasts and written over a dozen books. He's in the CFL and BC Sports Halls of Fame and received a Lifetime Achievement Award from Sports Media Canada. Last year, he received the Bruce Hutchison Award from the Jack Webster Foundation. We could go on with the superlatives. He's always a welcome guest on this program. Please welcome back to the Plant Online program, Jim Taylor. Good morning, Mr. Taylor.
Good morning. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, the same. Happy New Year and all that.
All that stuff.
Yeah. So, you know I'm not a sports fan, but I love reading your books because you're a pretty good writer.
Thank you.
And but I enjoyed this one because it's a compelling story. It's a Vancouver story. And, you know, he's a guy that, you know, because I'm 29, you know, I could have grown up with a guy like this.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. And this book has your stamp throughout it. I'm interested in knowing how you guys came together. I mean, you guys know each other, obviously.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Didn't socialize much, but I was going to write this book, 4 or 5 years ago, but the other books kept getting in the way, you know, and I kind of put it off, and then a couple of other guys who I know and respect took a couple of tries at it, and it didn't quite work out for scheduling reasons and everything else. So finally, Bobby, you know, the publisher said, "You want to do it?" And I said, "Hell yes," and away we went. And, Joe, we laughed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we laughed so hard. Sometimes we had to take what I called giggle breaks because the stuff that just kept cropping up. Well, what happened is we'd get on the phone, or even a few times together, because Bobby was traveling all over the place. Mostly we did it by phone. And we'd start talking about stories, and it was just like the Dale Richards thing, in that once he would remember something, and then I would remember something that spun off that, and away we'd go, you know? And it was just fun from moment to moment, you know?
And when you write books like this, you work with someone. You have to like them, right?
Absolutely. It's my first. I mean, I've turned down books, and you know, the publisher would say, "Well, why don't you want to write that one?" I'd say, "Because the guy's a jerk,"
yeah.
You know, and probably thought the same of me. So we have to like him. And you've asked me this. I remember once before,
yeah,
whether you still like him when it's over. And the answer has, fortunately for me, has always been yes.
Yeah. And he just seems, like, I've seen him on TV. I've seen Leonarduzzi on TV. He just seems like a nice guy. He doesn't put on airs or anything like that. You would think that someone as successful as he's been would be, you know, I don't know, sort of, you know, a jerk, essentially.
Yeah, well, I guess he would have had lots of opportunity. But again, and the similarities with the other people that I've written about, he had that really strong family connection, you know, and as he says, you know, when we were growing up, Sunday dinner was Sunday dinner, and you were there.
Yeah.
You know, and you talked about, you know, what had happened during the day. He said, now, he said, my own kids, when they were growing up, he said, it was, we tried to really hard to maintain that, but in the era of cell phones and internet and all, it was very difficult, but they managed.
And in terms of the childhood, I mean, it was a good childhood. They grew up in East Van, right?
Yes. And for soccer people, he grew up within a few blocks of Callister Park, which was Mecca for the local soccer people. He was the ball boy there, and he actually got to play for 10 minutes in a men's game when he was the ball boy and they were short, you know, that sort of stuff, which doesn't happen now. And in fact, he and I were talking about it, and one of the conclusions we came to is one of the problems with minor sport today is it's too organized. There are no pickup games because there are no vacant lots. you know, everything has to be organized to get kids a chance to play, so they lose that spontaneous get five or six guys together and kick a ball around.
Yeah. In terms of how good a soccer player he was, I mean, he was pretty good, right?
He was pretty good. He was able to play in England. He left home at 14 and went over there and played in the English League and stayed there for 5 years. And, you know, he was a quality player. And it's a shame, in a sense, if he'd been a quality hockey player, he would have been sort of revered, because you know what it is with the Canucks.
Yeah.
I've always said, if a Canuck farts, it's four pages in the province, you know. and so the recognition was not quite there. Not that he particularly craved it, but it is a point.
But when they won that championship, I guess it was 1979, right?
Yes.
That was a big deal in this town.
Oh, there were 100,000 people in the streets, and it caught the team by surprise, because when they were on the plane flying home, the PR guy issued these maps of the parade route, and Bobby said to Buzz Parsons, he said, "God, this is going to be embarrassing if there's nobody there."
Yeah.
You know, and there were 100,000 people in the streets. And amazingly enough, not one car was turned over. Nobody broke into any stores. It was obviously a different time. The idiot fringe had not yet, that now masquerades as sports fans, weren't there. It was a love-in. It really was.
And they were obviously there for the parade for the championship. But sort of take us back. I mean, was soccer a big deal in this town at that time?
It was a big deal at the club level. But and then when Herb Capozzi started the franchise, paid $25,000 for a franchise.
Wow.
and it was a struggle. But slowly they caught on, and the difference now, for instance, with the new league, the Metro League, the teams, the guys who own the teams have got kabillions. You know, and they are and they're here, they're committed, and this thing is here to stay. Before, well, I mean, the Whitecaps, as I say, 100,000 people in the stands and five are in the streets, and 5 years later, the franchise is gone.
Did you talk to Greg Kerfoot at all?
It's very difficult to talk to Greg Kerfoot.
Yeah.
I have never actually spoken to the man. He gave me some stuff via Bob and via an interview through Bob, and it was very cooperative and very supportive. But the man wants his privacy and deserves it, and pays the bills and stays out of the way.
Now, for people that don't know who he is, he's the owner of the one of the owners.
Of the franchise. Put the money up originally to start the franchise. Two of the other people who are co-owners, one is Jeff Mallett, who was the first CEO of Yahoo, so there's a dollar or two there.
Mm-hmm.
And the other guy owns a good, healthy chunk of the Boston Celtics. So and Steve Nash is in for, you know, a couple million. And so it's solid, and they're doing it properly. They're not getting delusions of grandeur.
Have you seen a game at the new BC Place Stadium?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I have.
Is it a nice facility? Experience nice?
Oh, it's a gorgeous facility, and it's a great experience, because they have what amounts to a secondary roof that turns it into a one level minor soccer pitch, and everyone is close at hand, and they have the fans screaming and all that. Yeah, it's a very good experience. Different from the BC Lions experience there, which is also very good, but totally different.
Yeah. Now, so do you think that this MLS league, do you think it'll do well in this continent, on this continent?
I think it will do well on this continent I don't think it will ever, it will, for the obvious comparison, it will never be the National Hockey League, but nothing ever will,
yeah.
Not in this country. But they're building, there's a lot of big money behind this league. They're building soccer-specific stadiums, you know, brand new facilities that seat 40, 50, 60,000 people. The money is there, and more importantly, the patience is there, and they're doing it slowly and carefully.
And so Leonard Doozy now, he's the president of it. He's got a big role in all of this.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And it, it, it always sounds, when I say this, people say, yeah, but you're selling books. But the thing is, Bobby is the face of soccer in this town. He truly is. Now, there are people who don't like him. They're soccer fans. There's a group called the Southsiders, and I saw on their blog, we were at the game in Portland, and he didn't even wave at us. Oh, Lord. You know? Oh, there goes a few books. but you know, it's they're passionate, and good for them. But Bobby is the face of the deal, yes.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned Herb Capozzi. He died recently, right?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, what was he like?
Oh, Herb was flamboyant, loved the crowd, was absolutely brilliant after-dinner speaker. I have been at dinners where top-notch speakers from Hollywood and everywhere else have been there, and they had to follow them. And I've seen guys put their napkins on their forks and hold them up in the air and surrender because they didn't want to follow them. And one of the great tragedies, Herb had cancer of the tongue, and it almost killed his speech. And he said to his wife, he said, you know, my mouth got me in a lot of trouble in the past, but he said, this is kind of ironic, you know. And to give you one quick story of what kind of a guy Herb was, on his 85th birthday, he went skydiving.
Wow, yeah. It's you meet characters like Herb Capozzi in this book. It just seems that the sport today doesn't have these sort of colorful people. I mean, is that your experience?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, I don't know whether we don't have them or whether they're just better hidden.
Yeah.
But I just, because, you know, you got to go through so many PR guys and people with notebooks and clips and everything is internet and video and stuff. And so I don't know if we get a chance to see them. I mean, there's nothing funnier than a National Hockey League interview now where between periods the guy says, asks him a question, the guy doesn't answer and gives you a bunch of, well, there's a lot of pride in this room, you know. And then in the end the guy says, thank you for this. It always drives me nuts. Thank you for what?
Yeah. Now, like a guy like Kerfoot, I mean, would he have remained hidden if it was, say, like 25 years ago, 30 years ago?
Oh, absolutely. That's a choice of his. Perhaps more effort would have been made to force him into the limelight, if as you will, but he chooses not to, and well-respected around the league, and this is the way he chooses to live, and he puts his millions, and that's not an exaggeration, he has put millions of dollars into the promotion of soccer in this country.
Yeah. Now, there are two covers to this book, is that right?
Oh, yeah. It's become kind of confusing.
Yeah.
The Whitecaps, as a club, bought a lot of books, and then they put their own cover on it to sell it or do whatever they're going to do with their fans. And so as a result, the criteria is the picture on the front. If the picture on the front of the book in the stores, that will be Bobby,
yeah,
in front of a net, and then the other one is the club one.
Yeah,
it's the same book exactly.
Yeah. What's it been like going to? I saw a video on YouTube of you and Leonard Doozy signing copies of the book. What's that like to sit with him? And
well, it's all new to Bob, of course. And he enjoys it, and again, it's the similarity with him and Dal Richards. I mean, he knows everyone, and so it takes longer for him to sign books because everybody comes up is either a relative, a friend of a relative, or a guy who used, and they talk.
Yeah.
And I'm standing there saying, Bobby, you know, Gretzky could do, you know, 10 in about 90 seconds, and you're doing one in about 9 minutes.
Yeah. What's the next project for you, Jim?
Oh, I don't know, Joe. There may not be one. I was thinking about it yesterday, as a matter of fact. I've written 6 books in 7 years.
Yeah.
And it might be time, you know, just to sort of, say, sit back a bit. But I don't sit back very well, so I don't know. If something comes, I'll tell you what I'd like to do. I would love to do another soccer book. I would like to do a soccer book with Christine Sinclair, who is for the seventh straight year, has been named Canada's outstanding women's soccer player, and the Women's World Cup is coming here in 2015, so I would like to do that, but I'm having a great deal of trouble talking her into it, because she says, I'm not comfortable being the face of women's soccer in this country, and I said, too late.
Yeah. I've read a bit about her. It seems like it'd be an interesting book there.
Well, yeah, and also she's tough. In that last World Cup, a German lady brought her elbow up and broke Christine's nose, and she's on the sidelines, and the television is right on her, and she's bleeding, and the trainer is saying, "Your nose is broken." She says, "I know. Get out of the way."
Is there any way that soccer could be as big in this country or in America as it is in Europe?
I don't think so. It's as much religion over there as hockey is here, and that's a hard thing to top. But there's a great niche for it. I mean, it can be a huge sport here and not be as passionate as hockey.
I mean, when the World Cup is played, I mean they shut down streets in the city.
Oh yes,
yeah,
and they do, and again, you know, no cars turned over.
Yeah,
funny thing.
Yeah, you mentioned the you referred to the riots of last, I guess it was June now, six
yeah.
months ago, the idiot fringe. What did you make of what happened in the city then?
Oh, I don't think it was hockey fans at all. I think it was they claim to be, but they're not real. And I think what happened is, to me, and in my own personal opinion, it was just plain stupidity to have those television sets downtown, because it collected people drinking and standing in the streets watching these big screens, and sooner or later they started to move. And it doesn't take too many punks. I mean, I saw an interview with a girl. She was carrying a purse, and she'd just come out through a broken window at one of the stores, and she was being interviewed, and she said, "Well, everybody else is doing it."
Yeah.
You know, and I hope it doesn't happen again, because I wouldn't surprise me at all if it did next time, you know.
Yeah. I was wondering, like, if they had won that night, if the Canucks had won that night, would the reaction, it probably would have been different, wouldn't it?
Different, but maybe a bigger riot.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been in places where Stanley Cups have been won, and there have been riots, again, by alleged fans, you know. It's an excuse to party.
Yeah.
And so they do, and it's very easy for all of us to sit back and say, you know, this is what should have been done, but when you get that many people, I don't know how you do it.
How often do you go to, say, a Lions game or a Canucks game nowadays?
Well, I've only gone to two Lions games in the last 2 years, but basically it's because I have a back injury, and I can't sit for too long in one place, so I'm an avid Lions fan, always have been. I watch them all on TV, and every night I say, "Please, Lord, don't let there be a blackout," you know. But I've been to two soccer games and two Lions games since the new stadium opened.
I had Alex Waterhouse Hayward on the program a couple months ago, and when in preparing for the interview, I remembered that he photographed you for Vancouver.
Yeah.
With your computer, I guess, on your knees and sitting by the pool.
Sitting on the diving board in my bathing suit. And I said, you know, Alex, I seldom work here.
Yeah. How did that get? I wanted to ask him, but I guess we ran out of time. But did he tell you to do that, I guess?
Then they came back anyway to get some other pictures, because they said, "Put his glasses on or nobody will know who the hell he is." But, you know, it was a magazine shot, and the article was good, and I had no complaints, so, you know.
Yeah.
But it does show you, doesn't it? I mean, I can safely say I have never, ever in my life written anything sitting on my diving board.
No. Are there writers that are in this town now and in our papers that you like reading?
Couple. I mean, and that sounds awful, and I don't mean they have different problems than we ever had. They're constantly on deadlines, because of the net and various, you know, chain things that they have to do. You and I have talked about this before. I don't think they're having as much fun as we did, and I don't know whether I could work under the conditions that they now have. I don't know that the papers would let me, because, I mean, my clause in my contract said, leave them the hell alone.
Yeah.
And now everything is cross-promotioned and everything. But, you know, there are some really good young writers coming up, you know, and but they don't laugh. And that drives me nuts, because, you know, when guys get $7, $8, $9, $10 million and bitch,
yeah,
you know, how can you not laugh?
It's always fun to talk to you, Jim. You sent me a CD a couple months ago, and I what's her name? Rita Reis? Is that?
It's pronounced Rise.
Rise.
Rita Rise. Yeah, she's a European jazz singer, been around for years and years and years. And I stumbled on her, and I just love her stuff.
It I had it on the weekend while I was in my office working on something. She's such a great there's songs that you put on the CD that I don't really, you'd be so nice to come home to, is not one of my favorite songs
no.
at all, but I mean the way she does it, I mean I had to listen to it twice because I just like the way she did it.
Yeah, and part of it is the accent, and part of it is the style, you know. But I'm a jazz freak from way back,
yeah.
and there's not all good jazz. I mean, some of it is elevator music,
right?
But she's really good, and I have her on my list. There's Ella, of course.
Mm-hmm.
There's Anita O'Day. There's Sarah Vaughan, and there's Rita.
Yeah. And when you're listening to your records and you're listening to your CDs in your office, do you sing along?
Oh no, that would be desecration. You have not. I do not sing. You know, I've had a strange life in that I have no athletic talent whatever, but I write about them. I have no voice, and I love the music. It could be argued that I'm a bit of a fraud.
It's always nice to talk again. Best of the season to you and your bride, and best wishes for the new year, Jim.
Thank you very much. You too.
You're very welcome. The book is called Bob Leonarduzzi, A Canadian Soccer Story. It's from Harbor Publishing. Jim Taylor on the line from West Vancouver, in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plato.